Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. Jane Hoffman, I just drove through a blizzard. If you're a co-host and you're on the air, it's going to take me about 5 minutes to walk up to my apartment. So I was pretty much thinking about the concept of unity tonight and unifying the nation. And the only way we really can do that is by purging and pardoning people's past. In other words, if you're a member of QAnon or a right-wing political faction or even a left-wing, vilifying politicians is not the way to bring our country together. Now, the left has been doing it too. Marjorie Taylor Greene, or whatever her name is, The View, Whoopi, and several others, Sonny Houston and the other hosts, they pretty much say she's crazy. In their opinion, because of her philosophy, that she is crazy to them. But by just going out on a limb like that, now, the only person I'm really upset with this week was there was a congressman named Brooks at the Trump rally the day of the January 6th. He said that they should go fight it out and duke it out in the halls of Congress. And I felt like his language was a little more reprehensible than even Trump's. But that's not what I'm talking about tonight. I'm talking about looking at the lives of politicians and not making assumptions, like thinking people are evil based on their background. And the reason I say that is I'm not going to use Hillary Clinton or Bill Clinton or any of those people as an example. I'm going to use Anderson Cooper. Tonight, on a CNN special, there was a picture of him and his siblings with their mother in their home, and she had purchased a statue of a dark-skinned Virgin Mary in Central America, and the QAnon people, they tailored this object to make it look like some type of voodoo thing, saying that she was engaged in idol worship, a satanic follower. And then they had pictures of Anderson Cooper in an old mansion owned by the Vanderbilts that neither him or his mother had even been in, even though it's a historical place. And they said that he was tied up with ropes and sexually abused. And Anderson Cooper verified himself that he has never been sexually abused. And that's a terrible thing, you know, when you're doing this to somebody, making up lies, going to the extremes just to make one side look bad. Now, in everyday dialogue, whether it's the Washington Post or people just talking to reporters and they're serving in public office, there have been death threats by QAnon against people like Nancy Pelosi and AOC, and perhaps the left-wing crazies are conducting these types of things. But the fact of the matter is that I don't find any of this behavior acceptable on either side. And we need to discuss policy agendas. Like, I just got home and Larry Elder was talking about, he was talking about some of the top Fortune 500 companies like Apple and Tesla, who said that they want to use 100% renewable energy by the time, you know, like by 2024, and that Apple's claim to use 100% renewable energy. But then he was talking about companies who are making these electric cars that are using aluminum that costs 8 times the amount of production cost versus steel, and that how Apple's being deceptive because they're still using some of their energy off an electric grid. Those are the kind of things we need to talk about to, you know, validate or invalidate what a direction in our country can be. But just vilifying public leaders, I don't care if it's liberals making Trump look bad or, well, you know, dye-in-the-wool, resentful Republicans who want to vilify the Clintons till their grave. you know, like, is this going to really work, and is it just going to continue forever? So with that, I'll bring in John and Don, and thank you for calling in time, you guys. Just a moment. Hi, John. How's it going?
Is this Conspiracy Jane?
No, I wouldn't put me on that level yet. I was just trying to – actually, my car spun around once on the way home. I was just trying to make it home in one piece so I could get into my studio. I did pick the topic of unity, whether it be for a bipartisan system or a multi-party system, but I really – that's just a theme tonight. It's not really, you know, anyone can talk about whatever they want. So, and Don's on the air too, and you guys have the floor. I've already spoken for 5 or 6 minutes.
Wow. Well,
so you guys can start in any direction you want.
I believe you ventured into the waters of controversy that Q advocates violence, that QAnon advocates attacking democracy or the American process and vilifying certain figures that are considered liberal, Democrat, as Satan worshipers, as pedophiles, etc. QAnon actually promotes free thought and research, logic, and conclusions, and allows the people come up with their own conclusions. And if you ever look at any article, whether it's on ABC News, Yahoo, CNN, etc., where if you just look at the comment section and scroll down, and you'll see a wide range of theories of people who hate Trump, who think he colluded with the Russians, who disregard the fact that the official report from the FBI states that Hillary Clinton came up. He sent a memo asking to promote a Russian collusion theory to distract from her server issue with the 33 deleted emails. That is a fact, which, of course, people who don't follow QAnon don't know.
I'm letting you talk the whole 3 minutes, but that's not what I was saying. I was just saying I don't like how people like Anderson Cooper's reputation gets burned when many of those things they were saying were not true.
Well, the question is, first of all, you're lumping QAnon with 50,000 posts by whether it's 5% or 1%, just like saying that all BLM people burn and riot in, you know, down cities. There are certain select people within a group that go crazy with information. You don't see QAnon people burning down the Capitol or shooting and killing people. But going again to this whole point of is that the Q, you don't even know who Q is, right? So it's like saying there's a mystery boogeyman out there that's getting everyone. You don't even know who Q is. Nobody knows, at least in our circle. So, you know, until you find out who and what and where, the key-ish questions, right, as a reporter would ask, it's all just conjecture that QAnon is dangerous.
Well, let me put it this way. Before I went to work, I created a show. I wrote, "What formula is needed for unity in the two-party system?" And then I was going to use examples of policy agendas that could be debated, minimize the personality and characteristics of top people in both parties that who are disliked strongly, like the McConnells and Pelosi's of the world. And then I was I created a scenario in my head of when you said last week that in 30 days there's going to be a possible military coup, and I thought out my own theory in my head. I didn't draw out on any internet sources, which I'll get into later in the show because it's not relevant yet. And then I saw a special on CNN, and I didn't combine those ideologies. Some of the stuff I drew from that special that I saw, that were this one guy who had been a former QAnon follower was saying stuff like he believed everything verbatim that was being put out there. And then when some of the stuff that didn't come to fruition that the QAnon people promised, And we all know it's an anonymous birth, and that's been well-defined over our show for over a year. But some of the things didn't come into fruition, and then they started interloping theories that Joe Biden was actually part of the Q movement and that he's going to complete the fulfillment of what Donald Trump wanted to do. So there's all this kind of crazy stuff out there. You know more about the nuts and bolts of it. I'm talking more of the abstract themes.
Right. I know the nuts and bolts, and you know just the nuts. Well, here's the thing, though. How could you possibly have unity if the Democratic Party unanimously is trying to impeach a president who is no longer president anymore, just as a grudge match, just as a stick a knife and twist it, when at least 75 million Americans who are way more passionate than Biden supporters. The Biden passion is a factor is like 20%. The Trump passion factor was about 90%. Now, after this, if you believe the fake media about the riot at the Capitol, that nothing was burned, nothing was broken as far as with people throwing bricks or taking their guns and assassinating the politicians, like AOC was claiming, I feared for my life. They were going to kill us all. Right. They were taking selfies and sitting up on Nancy Pelosi's desk and taking memorabilia and things like that. They weren't like taking over a police station or a four city blocks for 2 or 3 months hostage. Now that is a riot. They were asked to leave and they left. That's not
now
a riot.
Now you're just comparing apples and oranges.
I'm sorry?
Nothing.
Portland.
Don, why don't you jump in so I don't get more stressed out? But I do want to make a point before anyone starts talking further. No heavy breathing. No loud chewing. I couldn't air the last show because there was too much background noise. And we also lost Suzette for good. I'm not sure of the reason, but she hasn't responded to any of my texts in over a week.
Well, she may be busy, but again, no Democratic leader put down the Portland riots or the over 500 riots that caused $2 billion of damages. They refused. They said this is democracy. And Nancy Pelosi, about 10 years earlier, when rioters had taken over the Capitol, you have to understand, the Capitol has been held siege several times. And the Democratic Party said, we're celebrating democracy. We're celebrating people expressing their voices. There was there's a double standard here. And it's the media. It's even beyond politicians and the public. It's the media projects a liberal.
A lot of this stuff, John, I listened to one of our shows that one or two days after the election. A lot of this stuff we've already hammered out amongst ourselves. But
ooh.
I guess I'm looking for a new vision. Like, I think our country's in serious trouble, and there was one line out of the special tonight that made the most sense to me. Like, if people such as yourself and people such as myself, we're never going to be able to come together when our ideologies are so different. Like, there's never going to be any common ground. And COVID was the chance. It was our chance to come together, and no one's together yet.
Well, that's because we can't even agree to say it came from Wuhan. We can't even agree to say that America First is a good thing. We can't even agree that open borders is great for our economy. And you can go down the checkoff list.
But why can't I be a hybrid? Like, I'm conservative on immigration. I'm moderate on the environment. I'm kind of strict on wealth taxes. I do think the wealthy should pay more. I'm in the middle on a lot of issues. I'm not just hanging on a left branch.
Well,
I'm conservative on LGBTQ rights. I'm not just a straight line Democrat.
Do you know that they approve for the military, for the women only, not the men, the women only to wear long ponytails and nail polish and diamond studs in their earrings, in their combat gear? Is this a military that are supposed to fight, or is this summer glee club? Give me a fracking break. They're there to blow up things, kill, and then establish peace and order and rebuild. That's what the military does.
It depends where they are. Like, if they're based in Oklahoma, they can wear diamonds.
Oh, no. They want the women. So that way, because they said the reason stated, and people who follow Q get this kind of information, they logically think through this. The reason why is they wanted women to feel like women out there in the service of their country. Well, women in the service of the country on a battlefield get raped and get humiliated by other males that are stronger, and also compromise the safety of other males who have to think about protecting the women or above killing the other enemy who's trying to destroy them. That's what the military is highest situation of reason.
So how did
reason.
You get off on this tangent?
Well, because you're talking about well, this is what's going. This is the new administration coming through. You know, Donald Trump, I think, had one or two executive orders.
Can Lauren wear a diamond stud? Can Lauren wear a diamond stud in his left ear while on the battlefield?
I don't think he can. He can wear clear nail polish, but he cannot wear colors, and he cannot wear a ponytail. The men have to abide by the hair code, which again is sexual discrimination. But Joe Biden signed 40 executive orders, I think 17 on his first day. Donald Trump signed one or two. And the average for all the last six or seven presidents was one or two. Joe Biden has come on like dictator, King Kong of Nero Hitler. And no one says a rip about it because it's Joe Biden. He's the people's president with according to, you know, the dominion. Notice what that word says, to dominate, to take control. That's what they named the voting system, dominion, right? It's like S&M is our voting program, you know, like cuck and dominance, you know. Go ahead. We haven't heard from Don yet. I'm sure that's a subject he would love to talk about.
Be my guest.
Hi, everybody. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good evening, folks. This has been an interesting conversation because it's kind of been all over the place, but it's the same. But mainly Malcolm X, he said, I believe that there will ultimately be a clash between the oppressed and those who do the oppressing. I believe that there will be a clash between those who want freedom, justice, and equality for everyone, and those who want to continue this system of exploitation. I believe that there will be that kind of clash, but I don't think it will be based on the color of the skin. That's why I want everybody to understand, I've been talking about for last year, for longer than that, is that this is not a racial thing. With the riots, you know, the Antifa, they're not even Democratic left. They're on their own. QAnon, they're not even a Republican right. They're on their own. And it just so happens Antifa is not destroying a political party right now. But this is
compare and contrast, because what's the point of saying the left marches destroyed this much property, right marches destroyed that much property? These are two different kinds of movements, and we have to analyze them for their texture and value.
That's what I'm talking about. It's real.
Did Malcolm X support the Democratic Party?
No.
He despised it, right? He said it was evil.
He was more of a historian and a prophet. He warned people.
Right, and he had the Muslim nation as his philosophy or the party, if you want to call it that, that that should lead the country, but should lead the world, actually. But no, he was not necessarily a Democrat. He wasn't necessarily a Republican. And that's what it seemed.
Who ultimately killed a Malcolm X?
The other Muslims who didn't necessarily agree with what he was
okay,
saying what? About everybody.
Black
he came back.
The party that he was part of killed him. Got it.
Yeah, no,
John was right about two things on his earlier quote. Like, first of all, Malcolm X, the leaders of the early 60s to mid 70s, the times were different, and it wasn't this abrasive partisan politics and vilifying. It was more of a conceptual thing, like, do we belong in foreign wars?
Like, execute people like JFK, Bobby, and Martin Luther, and Malcolm X. Just execute.
No,
it was a much
I'm
more
talking about, now you're not letting me finish, okay? Even
I
though we're only 2 years apart. I'm saying that people like Malcolm X was very unique. He was even more unique than Martin Luther King, because Martin Luther King was a Southern Baptist who, like, he had the,
right.
like, the forefront of his, you know, like, let's just uplift this oppression and let black people be free. But Malcolm X was a complicated dude. Like, he was almost like a morph version of Muhammad Ali. Like, he spoke the truth, but he had so much. It's kind of weird how he just kind of got in the forefront of everything. You know what I mean? Like, he wasn't like Langston Hughes or Richard Wright, those famous black writers. He was a little bit different than that.
Yeah. He spoke truth to power, that's for sure. And he certainly paid the price for it.
Well, the thing is that and ultimately he was working for everyone in order for them to understand that there was a segment of the population that was not being catered to or, you know, being understood. There was the Muslims then were really getting pretty strong. And they were taking over parts of cities. So in order for Malcolm to say that segment, that culture had a religion, if you want to call it that, had a place in America, he had to really speak out loud because the Muslims were being ostracized even more than the ordinary blacks.
Just a trivia question. This isn't a heated question. As far as that era of Muslim music, like what were the into? I mean, I know with Martin Luther, you would say gospel, you know, Aretha Franklin Mahalia Jackson, that kind of thing. Is there a Muslim music culture, or is it more just the Motown or the the R&B of that era, or
no? It was jazz. Jazz was a Muslim, I guess you could call it just a getaway. They were able to let their mind go. It was kind of like meditation music. So it was jazz and the new swing kind of thing. So that was what they loved to listen to their music.
That's interesting. Now with jazz, was that
Go ahead, John.
I was going to say, with jazz, was that about breaking contemporary norms, like
absolutely.
You have to have the structure of this and that, and jazz was like, do it, do whatever you're going to do, baby, let's swing, and then in a certain way, you want to drink and do a little weed and just, you know, expand your mind, go with it, you know, and kind of like Miles Davis, just let it go.
But you know,
Muslims don't drink, and they don't smoke.
Right.
A true Muslim keeps his body clean. So it
no
was just a way for them to mentally bug out, if you will, and with music. And so that was one of their major ways. They, you know, a lot of Muslims didn't care a lot for R&B because it was just too structured and too much about love. And the Muslims were, you know, the love of Allah and to be able to expand, proselytize. That's one of the main things that Muslims require in their prayers.
Wow.
So it, it's a.
And then it's, Pat is.
I don't
Catholic
really know
now.
That. I do know that there was a black movement, though. I think a lot of black people who became Muslim at that time were trying to separate themselves from expectations of a Christian Judeo society that exonerated white people, but I really don't know. It's just a guess. And then secondly,
well,
like
want
you,
their own country. Muslims want their own country. They want. They want.
I know, but also like even mundane football players like Ahmad Rashad, you know, he became a Muslim. He wasn't a radical like social mouthpiece. So I really don't know. I have Muslim friends that were born and raised Muslim, but I don't know that much about the movement for black Americans to become Muslim. But I know in the Muslim community itself, Muslims like to, they believe a lot in unity and blending in of God with the rest of. Some of them are ecumenical in the sense where they want to get along with Christians. They're not like the radical Middle East Muslims.
Yeah, but they don't mind as long as they have their own cities or their own properties, their own politicians, political systems. That's what they want. They want to actually separate, become separatists in a lot of ways, ideally. But when they come to a country that's too much, too white, or, you know, too conservative, I guess, and so they have to wait or blend in order to make it.
Yeah, I think some Muslims are like that, but it depends on the decade because I heard a thing on NPR once about these Muslims that were trying to build a mosque in a very conservative part of Northern Virginia and that how the city council had to debate it. And they didn't really want a mosque there, but they realized the Constitution says, you know, that all religions must be respected, so they passed the city decree for them to build a mosque. And then one of the councilmen said on the air he was proud of himself for being tolerant when he knew deep down inside he really wasn't.
Right. Yeah, well, they had
like he was admitting that he wasn't really that excited about it.
Well, there was a Muslim, there's a Muslim precinct in Philadelphia that was ready to vote in some Muslim, assemblymen or local councilmen, and they actually the whites took their vote away. And so they weren't able to establish it. This happened in the early 2010s, 2011, somewhere around there. But, you know, there was just blatant voter fraud. And that's why we say it happens all the time. And what happened this time, even though there were 7 million votes, so nothing, you know, Michigan wouldn't have made a difference. Georgia wouldn't have made a difference individually. So this election, even though it might have had some problems, was as fraud-free as anyone I've seen in a while.
Wow.
No, it is.
I've
been following elections for a long, long time. And for the Michigan votes, that was explained, them taking the votes, the boxes out of behind the, which call it, the only problem with the time period after 2 o'clock. But those votes were explained. The votes in Pennsylvania were explained. The Georgia votes, the votes in Georgia were explained. The ones in Pennsylvania were the question. And so, we should just move on. And then, you know, you don't have, if you really want to
move
on.
Someone's breathing hard like they're riding a bicycle. If you are, just watch it.
Okay. But they're not, the election should have been certified for the most part, and it was. So what we need to do is get this, you don't stay on the edge and then put your foot back in your mouth. And that's exactly what the former whatever he was has done. And it's really sad because it doesn't help Americans. There's not one thing that helped Americans. And if you saw the visuals of the Capitol, you'll know that those people were vicious. They killed a cop, and they did, killed another person, and three others died, and now two other cops killed themselves, committed suicide.
Well, in that sense, you are sort of generalizing, because now after watching the CNN special, there were a few people on Twitter that actually said that we're going to go there and we're going to shed blood. But I think 85% or more of that crowd at the Capitol were not there to hurt people. Suzette said, they were carrying flags. They weren't carrying. Most of them were not carrying guns.
That wasn't.
So
that
in this
matter.
Sense, I don't want to always side with the extreme.
It doesn't matter. They were on Capitol, unauthorized Capitol grounds. They were on. They weren't supposed to be there. It was against the law at that time. So they broke the law. Period. They were carrying flags. They were. Beating people up and killing cops. What have the
okay,
I
understand your logic. I can go along with your logic, but John, what are you doing right now?
I'm just listening. It sounds like Don's never heard of the term Occupy the White House, which has happened many times. Also, I wonder, Don, do you accept the official government version of the JFK assassination or 9/11 or War? And do you think, like, losing killing a million people in the Middle East was worth that kind of trust when you say we just need to move on about this election when Venezuela, Italy, Iran, Russia, and China are involved in election interference? You're cool with foreign countries affecting our votes as free citizens?
Well, they've been affecting our votes for years. That's what I'm saying. Suck it up and let's move on.
Wow.
It
sounds like
something
my girlfriend might tell me.
Yeah, well, the bottom line is your girlfriend's probably right. You know, she's probably on her knees right now just saying, okay.
Suck it up.
You know, let it go.
Let it go.
You know, when you got George, Bush and, losing when he should have won with Gore, that's the most blatant thing you'll ever see, and those were military votes that they didn't count, a lot of them. So it was, this has been a Republican-Democratic problem for decades, for years, eons. And the thing is that we know it happens. So it happens almost every election. So whatever happens, you have to let it go and keep on living. And that's what that people who are making a mockery of the rotten democratic republics are doing right now. They're making a mockery of this. It's a joke. And it's making the people see what a joke it is. And it's a good thing because it's sobering them up to realize that they can make a difference if they stay active and vote. So, you know, this is there are good things that happen out of bad things. There's always a silver lining, and that's what I do. That's what I look for, and that's what I put into action. So, you know, these things that are coming up in our state legislative session in the next week are going to show that we're going, whatever happened by either side, it is going to make a difference in the laws that we make in this next 3 months.
Well, don't we have the right to question? And don't we have the right to voice our opinion and not be deleted permanently on Facebook
educated,
or Twitter or social media?
I was educated in journalism. I've said this a million times. My degree is in journalism. And the very first thing that they taught us, the very second thing that they taught us, was don't believe anything you read. That is the most, one of the principles of gospel of journalism.
And only believe half of what you see, right? Don't believe anything you read, and only half of what you see.
No, just the facts, ma'am, just the facts. That's what a true journalist is supposed to strive for. However, with the advent of the social media, they have taken journalism away. It's no longer called, it shouldn't even be called journalism anymore. All of this crap that's coming over the airwaves should be called crap. And, you say something and wait and see. There's nothing that's coming out of wait and see. All these theories, a lot of the conspiracy theories are simply, verbal tripe that can't be verified. And if it is, to push it over as propaganda to everyone doesn't understand it, and they won't follow it. So even if it's the truth, they won't follow the truth, and that's the problem. That's the problem right now.
Well, wasn't the news in the past, at least most of when I was growing up, Walter Cronkite or like any other newscaster, they would say, today, there was an event that happened, and who, what, why, where, et cetera. Like so-and-so did this, and da-da-da, and the police are examining the facts. And now today it's like, we can see our president made a baseless conspiracy thing, and, Biden's plane arrived, and I felt chills, and this is so disruptive.
Yeah.
You're getting commentary now. It's no longer, it's like an op-ed. It's all opinion. It's all slanted. It's no longer even reporting facts. It's selected facts.
That's shit. It's right now what journalism has become is a bunch of noise, and to make out the mellow sounds, you only hear the sounds that you want to hear. And back in the day, you heard one general story coming from all the media, and so you had no choice but to follow it. But if you read the papers, and if you read the Time magazines and some of the other Newsweeks, things like that, you get a fairly good idea of what they're talking about. The back then, journalists were gagged because it was very important for them to keep secrets. That was how the government did its job. It kept a lot of secrets, and now those secrets are out. So everybody has a chance to portray any idea that they want, and that's detrimental to our kids because our kids are zoning out. They hear too much white noise, and they just want to go in a corner and play video games all day. So this is a, you know, a new day, and I'm very disappointed in journalism in general that, you know, this social media is here to stay. And so now we've got to determine a different way of acquiring our news. And that's what we have to do right now.
Wow.
And our news should not be on Twitter. You should not have anything on Twitter.
In the old days, the news was more condensed. Like, maybe John was trying to say, like, you had your choice between the national 5 o'clock news and then the 6 o'clock local news. I mean, the national news at 5, local news at 6, your local newspaper. And then, you know, like for states like mine, the Minneapolis Tribune or the St. Paul Dispatch, you didn't have a wide variety of online news sources.
Right.
Well, they're all pretty generic. They were just reading off facts or information and trying to confirm as many sources, even if there was bias, even if it was programming. Now they don't even pretend. They just like, okay, we're just going to tell you. Like,
A Fox News and an MSNBC would never exist. Neither one of them would ever exist in our day. So that's what you could, you know, and it's because of the lack of facts and also the
RT. There's also other things like RT News and the Young Turk. And like Albert used to watch the Young Turks, but now you actually have to, when you go on YouTube, you actually have to pay for it. I'm not paying to go watch some third-party news. And on the right side, it's called Breitbart News, and they have a few other ones.
Well, it's just not objective. It's subjective stations would not exist. So you didn't have any political right or left in normal news channels. Now
right, and then also in the old days, the White House used to, like, the White House would present its information and nobody would overly question it until Nixon arrived. Then he started lying about Cambodia and how many people were being killed, and he lied about a lot of stuff. And covert news, like when Eisenhower and when the U.S. and England overthrew Iraq, they didn't put that in the mainstream news, you know.
Well, news has changed over the years. I mean, back in the 50s
news
and 60s.
News has not changed. News itself has not changed. The way that it's portrayed has changed.
But I should say
it's
scrutinized
has
changed.
And respect. Don't you think there was more respect for authority figures? Like now a lot of, I overheard tonight, like 42% of the Republicans want to start a third party and 58% disagree. Like, but there's really not a lot of cohesive respect for authority right now.
And that's what your show is about. Is about if we do have the authority, respect for authority anymore. And also that title, I don't know what you were thinking about, Jane, when you said that the unity of the two parties, that doesn't mean, that's an oxymoron. That didn't even make sense. So,
you know what, I was at work when I made the show up and I was in a hurry. I often change the show title description. Sometimes I change it within 1 or 2 days after the show's been aired.
Okay, well, you wrote that when you were getting beat over the head by a baseball.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Pat told you that because you never go on the bloody internet.
Told me what? No, she didn't go on.
Did she show you the title or did you just hear me recite it?
I just heard you recite it.
I bet you you've never even been on our three websites.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, we're on Twitter, Facebook, and we're also on, we have our own website, blogtalkradio.com/tabernacle faith. So half of America probably thinks we're Mormons.
Oh, my goodness. That's the last thing I want them to think about me. No organized religion for me right now. So, but I do.
I was trying to think of a. John and I used to do a show with a guy named Bob. And we called ourselves the Three Theologians. So I used the word tabernacle because I liked it. But then I thought people would associate us with Muslims.
No.
I mean, I'm with Mormons, not Muslims.
Well, because I started speaking with you on your show right around that time when you were just getting ready to leave Bob, but Ernest and over there. But we want everybody to have an equal shot, equal opportunity. Nobody wants to be at home all the time in quarantine. Nobody wants to not have a job. Nobody wants to have equal opportunity in education or housing or food or anything like that. There's no need. We're the richest country in the world, in the history of the world. There's no need for us to be even talking about hunger and famine and the toxic poisons and anything like that. We should have things in place that stop a corporation from pumping in lead into our waterways or putting excess CO2 into our air. Those things are already here. They're possible. But these greedy people are just, they're cutting every corner, every penny, and if that means killing a million folks just by their water and their air, then so be it. And that's not right.
I don't care what we do from now till the end of the show, but whoever has the background noise, you got to get rid of it now. There's heavy breathing. I don't know if you're in a loud room with bouncy ceilings. I don't know, but stop.
I can't keep putting
people on mute, man. There's only three of us tonight.
So can't you mute while you're...
So you should all two of you should be in a quiet room. And somebody's not.
I know I am. I'm good.
Okay.
I think I was good.
You guys, I think we should only do this show an hour tonight anyway, unless somebody has a central theme.
Because
I just got off work.
Right. Well, that's fine. We can have an hour, but there is no such thing. I mean, right now there is no central theme because we're all over the place. We haven't even, I mean, when I say that, I mean the issues are all over the place. When you talk about COVID, we haven't even talked about COVID vaccines or the fact that the Hong Kong, people are leaving Hong Kong in droves. London has accepted them. We haven't talked about anything about the EU and Brexit breakup.
There's something going on. There's also something going on with the Taiwanese. I guess under the Trump administration, a law was altered on the economic benefit of China. I think Trump was trying to disassociate China profit of Taiwan and their ties to China, and the Chinese government got really pissed about it. And now George Bush is going to try to reverse some of that.
Well, that's why they sent
Pompeo. I mean, not George Bush, Joe Biden. This is how I am when I'm off work. Joe Biden is going to try to correct that. And the Chinese government said Trump was no longer allowed on their land or something like that.
Well, that's what they sent. I think Pompeo went over there a few months back, and as an overt play against or trying to irritate China, and it worked. So, you know, this is something that...
Well, I guess Pompeo was trying to throw his weight around in a couple of other places the last week of the Trump administration. Somebody pulled his travel pass. I don't know who it was, but somebody in the State Department wouldn't let Pompeo go anywhere else.
Well, yeah. He's talking. He was a ship that was rudderless. It had no captain, so he could do whatever he wants. He might be planning a presidential run in 2024. So, you know, he wants to show that he has clout, but yet he can be somewhat compassionate.
John, do you know anything about that Taiwanese agreement?
I don't know all the specifics, but I know Pompeo was wheeling and dealing, and he would probably, if military doesn't intervene, say by the end of March, and Joe Biden remains in the White House, Pompeo would probably be a really good choice from the Republican side, because Trump is a wrecking ball. Trump had to bust open the deep state, if you want to call it that, or the fake news, or expose, and whether people like him or not, now they question. Now they see. Now they're looking at Dominion. This stuff, you realize Dominion's been around since 2002, I believe, give or take, the Smartmatic system. People were like in a fog bank. People were in a fog bank about Epstein Island as of a year or so. Remember, it's like, oh, there was an island, and all these people went to it, and there's the Maxwells and this and that, and the Royals and all, you know, Prince Andrew and Weinstein. Oh, you mean that Weinstein went to the White House 13 times and that Malia Obama interned? Really? And it's like, oh, we didn't notice all this stuff. Yeah, it's called fake news. It's called deep state. It's called covering up stuff in this information era. The wrecking ball of Trump busted those walls open, and you have to acknowledge at some point, like, thank you for now we question everything, you know.
That's what we did.
Just so you know, on the CNN special about QAnon, they said that all the Epstein travel logs were also altered. Not all of them, but... And Anderson Cooper was on that list, and he's never been to Epstein Island.
According to Anderson Cooper.
Exactly. And you never know who's been doing what where.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
But it's a
process. By the way,
process.
John, the money's not in my other body part. It's in my bra tonight.
Oh, wow.
$1,300.
You must have gone up two cup sizes.
She went to Epstein Island.
I'm deep sea D. I'm deep sea D.
Okay.
Well,
I want either John or Don to reach out to Suzette and find out why she stopped calling our show. But
okay.
I listened
I
to one
remember.
Episode. Albert was going ballistic one night against John on the show, and he wouldn't shut up. And John was trying to get him to say a yes or no answer, and he wouldn't. And I realized that the logic was highly distorted in that episode.
Whose logic?
This is coming from the person who's thrown me off the air three or four times and muted me about
12.
Because Albert did not wait. Albert did not understand what John was even asking him. John was just asking him to commit to debate a matter versus to just keep. Like Albert has the tendency to have run-on sentences when he's talking about a topic, and John was just asking him to have some kind of exchange, like. Somebody brings up a point, and then someone debates it or refutes it. Then they give another person a chance, And Albert refused to say yes or no. And it went on for 20 minutes, and Suzette had to break it up.
Well,
right, that's because
that
Albert doesn't believe in being told what to do. So it was a point of will, like you felt he was submitting. You know, it's like someone saying, you know, bow on your knee to me or something like that. Just all I asked him was that we agree to talk for 3 minutes at a time or whatever.
But because of that, John, we may have lost a conservative moderate who would have been on your side, but was a sort of an, you know, integral part of our show.
Yes, it's actually,
we didn't lose her that episode. That was the week of the election. But she called in like four more times. And now she won't answer any of my texts. And I'm upset about it because she's smart. And she was a voice. She was someone who brought us all together on a certain level.
Right. That's what I just meant. That's what I just said. And
maybe she'll reappear.
Yeah, she'll probably reappear, but, you know, sometimes hosts or guest hosts come and go, and we just have to understand that part of this type of show. Not everybody is going to understand that politics is not necessarily a polite endeavor. You don't have to all, you know, not everybody's going to be nice. So you have to have a little thick skin, and if you don't have a little thick skin, then good luck. You know,
well, one night we had a guy from South Dakota on who was a Trump supporter, and Singapore Mike called in, and the guy knew Singapore Mike from another show, and he totally annihilated him on our show, and we've never heard from Singapore Mike again.
Exactly. So
poor Singapore Mike.
Yeah, right, John. See there, John probably helped out. I think I remember that show that you're talking about. But the thing is that the thick skin is necessary for something like this. If we, you know, if we were playing around and it was just talking about celebrities and music and things like that, I don't think that we would have the ebb and flow of hosts or at least guests that we have. But everybody knows that you have to, you know, be a little strong in order to talk politics, and especially sometimes when we talk that in terms of its relationship to religion. Those subjects are, you know, they're oil and water.
This is housekeeping night.
Well, good, because, you know, you're going to have to change your title a little bit, but for the most part, we're all over the place tonight. So, you know, that's just
another thing that I'm going to ask John a poignant question. Like, John, certain people in the QAnon and right-wing movement to save the country, they call themselves patriots. How are they differentiating themselves from other people who are Americans who consider themselves patriots but don't believe in what they believe?
Well, I should probably look up the exact meaning of it, but basically, you know, I'm sure it has something to do with the patriarchy or something like that, but basically traditional values of your country, of your the foundational things, and what America's become now is not fundamentally, and that's talking about, you know, our freedom of expression, our right to bear arms, our right to assemble. And this is what's happened is we've gone the way of equality over freedom. And again, stated freedom says if you work your ass off and you earn 12 bananas, they're yours. If you don't work at all and you have zero bananas because you're just a lazy ass, then that's what you get. Equality says, no, 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 you have too many bananas, Mr. 12 Banana Guy. You have to give and share with the guy who doesn't work or the guy who has a, you know, tough break or whatever. You know, he's got health issues or lost his job. And some of the equity of that I like. But the point is, when it's mandated, like you have to, like, okay, and that destroys, we're talking about, you know, socialism versus capitalism. The problem is one of the guys at work, his name's Rakim, a brother man, really cool dude, a man of the streets. And he said, he was just being very retrospective. He said, socialism just destroys motivation. He said, like, he's trying to be a manager. He says, why would I want to work any harder if everyone's going to get $15 an hour? Just move to Texas or Arkansas or somewhere where your money is worth double, and I don't have to work any harder. You know, I'm going to get 15 no matter what. And I said, yeah. And along with that, the stores are going to raise their prices anyway and cut the hours and make the people left over to work harder to justify it. Like, in the end, that doesn't solve any problem. It creates another monster. That's all it does. But
I think that only some companies can afford to pay every employee a minimum of $15 an hour. Like AT&T can, but not a mid-sized grocery store. You know, like,
well,
so they have. Yeah,
some
so I just don't
states,
think
yeah,
that.
Teacher,
I don't know if that should be a universal law.
Well, that's what Joe Biden's going to push for. But going along with that, see, in a small state, a teacher who's got, you know, a couple degrees may make $15 or $18 an hour. And here, you know, Joe Schmeck working at any job gets $15 an hour because Joe Biden says, hey, we need equality. You go, well, that's not fair, right? Because you're making me equal. You're making someone with more qualification equal to someone with less qualification. Is that really equality? It destroys ambition.
Like,
why work harder?
You will.
I like what the guy said about moving to another state if it's going to be universal wages. But then
that's why we're
on the other
hand. That's why Nevada. Well,
everything's so uneven in America because, like, Duluth, Minnesota is one of the coldest places in the United States, but we have high rent. Like, you don't even get a break on the rent. And the only reason I get a break is because I have a roommate. So I pay $450 a month because I have a roommate.
Well, but at this point, if you're seeking equality, then every state needs to have 72 degrees or, you know, needs to have an ocean or needs to have a beach. On and on you go.
Well,
my life is an equal.
We have to suffer up here 6 months a year, so the rent should not be high. But There's a historical reason why it's high, but I don't have time to get into it on the show. Because this used to be a shishi-poo-poo town.
And all this thing is good and dandy if prices were kept at a reasonable, there wasn't price fixing, if there wasn't any kind of equality in employment, things like that, you don't need a $15 wage. Because things are working on the laissez-faire economic principles, which generally work. That entails having a fair and honest way of making sure you have universal hiring of most qualified people. And that doesn't happen.
Okay, somebody's in the water again. I noticed how when John muted himself, he was quieter. So I do think that right now I don't think America as a whole is salvageable, but I think culturally and spiritually we can still find some kind of peace and solace, but not through commonality as a government.
Well, that's what I've been saying all along. We're so many different type of cultures and peoples that there is no such thing as unity or potential unity. So we just have to find a way that we are all able to be as free as possible with as few encumbrances or hindrances as we possibly can. And that would entail having rules and regulations that do make things a little more equal, like a laws for a certain percentage of affordable housing and affirmative action. You know, taking away affirmative action tilted the balance of justice back again. And we did to where, you know, a certain culture got more accoutrements than others. So this is something that, you know, if you're talking about pure America, you want to have something, you know, the Constitution, the verbiage of the Constitution, you want to have something that's fair. You know, it doesn't, if you fall, you fall. If you win, you win. But does not necessarily mean that you have to stomp on a person or not be moral. You know, this thing that some of these businesses and lawyers and politicians do are immoral, and they do deserve to be ostracized. And that's just, you know, that's just the way it is in a moralistic, civilized society. And that word civilized can't be used for us. That's, you know, all civilizations fail. All civilizations fail. So if this isn't the right one, then we're just going to have to turn to another one. And that's what we're doing.
And I do have a point about that, and I also have another question for John. I've been watching The Crown. The British monarchy has been around since around 1300, and it is the same bloodline lineage. You know, like they don't pick the prettiest woman in the community. They just pick the bloodline to be the next queen or princess. But the British monarchy and the Catholic Church own more land than any other institution. So I feel like the British monarchy, and it's called a parliamentary monarchy, or there's another word for it, a constitutional monarchy. That's one of the most stable governments in the world, and part of the longevity is because Queen Elizabeth is now 94, and she's been in power 69 years. So all I'm saying is that I don't think America's going to die in democracy tomorrow, but I do think it's going to morph, change, and evolve. But I really think that it's more than a civil war now. It's a tongue fire match where people just don't identify with any, like John was saying, any traditional values anymore. My LGBTQ friends are just as crazy as, I wouldn't say crazy, but their definition of America is way different than somebody else's. So I think I'm pretty much done talking tonight. Maybe you guys have a few more things to say, so I'm going to keep the floor open for 15 more minutes.
Well, you touched on,
but John,
stability.
My question to you is like, oh, I know what my question was. I forgot. John, so you spend a lot of time doing research and finding out things, and you found out a lot of things about Trump's potential enemies. But is your view or your policy recommendations for the next administration, is that going to help or hurt Joe Biden, like all your information you've had in store? Like, how is that going to help restore America by you knowing dirt on people?
Oh, it definitely helps for people to have knowledge and to be free thinkers and not to be clones. When you've deleted the accounts of Giuliani and Trump and Sidney Powell and Michael Flynn, and then if I were to speak anything that's favorable, then I get deleted. You think that's a great thing for freedom? Freedom of thought? That's the death of it. And going back to stability.
I don't think you're saying you and we. I'm not the Democratic Party per se. So just say this coalition block did this, because I don't own Twitter.
I'm saying that you touted the British monarchy or the their throne system as stability. I mean, that's what we revolted from King George in the years of just the, you know, let them eat cake and just basically ruling the people by the voice of their the king or the queen, and not the people having any say. That's why America exists. So I see it as, yeah, people have to be free thinkers, or they're going to be like little communists in China or Russia, or
well, you see,
or voiceless like in England in the whole kingdom over there.
That,
but you see,
wait a minute, you guys. In the British monarchy, the prime minister is the head of government, and he consults the queen. The queen is the head of the church. England has their own church system. They don't have Catholic or Lutheran. The queen is the head of the church. That doesn't mean that you can belong. Not everybody has to belong to the Church of England. That's what it's called. You can belong to Presbyterian or Foursquare Gospel.
Well, the Anglo,
but what I was
Anglo.
Saying is that over the, I know how bad it was in 1775, but what I'm saying is that it appears over time. I'm not saying that there's not oppression or anything, but it appears over time that the British monarchy is stable.
Well
yeah,
they lost
like
everything. They lost except for their material things. They lost every colony they had. They don't have a damn colony left, except like
sure.
British and England.
They have. Still in charge of Australia, New Zealand, Canada.
Okay.
And they have three to six, the Falkland Islands, and they have 3 to 6 more other places around the world that I can't think of off the top of my head.
America.
Right. Well,
they own America.
They don't own America.
Don, they still own a lot. And up until the 70s, they owned...
I said the material, the material things they still own.
Well,
they don't necessarily own the government.
There's a couple things you missed. One was, of course, Prince Andrew and Epstein. The royals do whatever they want to do. They, you know, when you talk about the Falklands, that's their life is falking the public, the people. They own more land and property than anything, right? From the
that's
people.
What I just said at the beginning of the show. I said that the Catholic Church and England own more land than anybody else.
Dictatorship is very stable.
And in Revelations, the Anglican Catholic Church is one of the abominations that will be destroyed.
Well, going.
No,
further,
not Revelations. It's the. They're talking about the 10 crowns of Europe as part of the EEC, which used to be the European Economic Community, which is now the EU. Go ahead, John.
As I stated, the nation that you both didn't mention that is owned by England is the United States. And you go, oh, no, we're greater and powerful. What did the UN just say? I think Macron said America needs to get back over here and start fighting to defend us in the Middle East. Why do you think we spend so much money on military? We have to. How come we have to defend the world? What's the world? Europe, the UK, the all those people over there, Italy and Ireland and France and Germany and England and all that. We have to defend that because how come? Because we're their slaves. Right? Because we have to protect the world because they tell us to, right? Donald Trump says, hey, no, America first. And where do we say, oh, no, that's terrible, America first. No, America the bitch, right? Serve all these other countries. Gotta, you know, let more immigrants in. We gotta serve them. What happened to taking care of our stuff? So yeah, we are owned by England and by the Queen and the royals. Why do you think they're all over our headlines? Why do they dominate Prince Harry and William and Markle? You know?
I do think there's a lot of glorification still, and I do think there's an underlying, I don't want to say social link, but there's a, there is an underlying identification with the English tradition because we still have their structural government.
Who's
we still
more
have
revered? Mother Teresa?
England?
Who's more revered? Mother Teresa, Melania Trump, or Princess Diana? Princess Diana.
Or
right?
The Queen of England.
How many articles do you know about Mother Teresa? I mean, you ask any, 10-year-old kid, Mother what? I have no idea what you're talking about. And in a couple of years, Melania, again, she didn't get any covers of just about anything. I think maybe one or two. Who was on the covers, who's still on the covers? Diana and Charles and William and all these people. It just, it never
ends. Well, part of it was because of the tragedy and her early death.
Yeah, but
my mother had a
man. She was with another man.
My
no,
mother.
No, she was divorced. She was divorced, Don, by then.
She
was engaged to Dodi El. She was engaged to Dodi El Fayed.
Right.
My mother had a Princess Diana doll for 20 years until it started to go bad. My mother-in-law had the Royals plates hanging all over her house in San Jose, California. She'd go back once a year to the motherland. You're telling me that they don't control
your mother-in-law America? Was she English descent?
Yes, British. Yes. Now go to the supermarket, right? Go to the supermarket. What are you going to find on the cover? Oh, Harry and William make up. What's William's wife? Kate. Kate and
Katie.
And what's Markle's first name? I forget her name. But,
Meghan. Meghan Markle.
Meghan and Kate, have they made up? And are the boys talking to each other? And on and on this goes. Wait, this is puny little England. How come? Because they own us. We're still paying them back from 1871.
In the show The Crown, Winston Churchill had to send an envoy to Washington, D.C. to talk to Eisenhower about Khrushchev and the Soviets making an H-bomb. And Eisenhower greeted the envoy. He said, England, once the most powerful country on earth, now they're in our shadow. But I have to put a blurb in quick. The U.K. still controls Australia, Canada, New Zealand, Antigua, Barbuda, the Bahamas, Barbados, Belize, Grenada, Jamaica, Papua New Guinea, St. Kitts, which is out in the ocean, Nevis, St. Lucia, St. Vincent, Grenadines, Solomon Islands, and Tuvalu. So they still control 14 nations.
Yeah,
and
between the loss of India and Hong Kong, that makes up the money for all of those places combined.
And did you know that Hong Kong wasn't surrendered from the British till like 1990? It wasn't even
that long ago.
That
was one of the worst days in world history, because I knew that they were giving it back to the Chinese, so I knew the Chinese were going to try to influence Hong Kong eventually when over to their side. Same thing with Vietnam, and then coming down through North Korea, North Vietnam to South Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos. I'm just surprised they didn't get all of Indonesia, but they got most of it. This is something that is a fluid situation. Civilizations come and go, and right now China is going to be our biggest threat. These civilizations, there are growing newer civilizations where not a civilization, but they're becoming more modernized. And so, in a way, the meek shall inherit the earth, even though they're communists.
Yeah, can I just read one more segment to you guys? Lord Mountbatten, which is actually the uncle of Prince Philip, who married Queen Elizabeth, He gave away India early in 1947 because they were on the brink of civil war. And then what happened was is when that happened too early, Britain had to partition India into two areas, Hindu and Muslim. It left tens of millions of minorities homeless, and many of the Muslims fled to Pakistan. And there was religious strife, and violence broke out. And by England leaving India, it caused a lot of momentary problems.
Any vacuum, though. Anytime you have.
And also, England even controlled Palestine, and they were instrumental in making Israel a nation because they had the Balfour Declaration in 1917, which set forth. They tried to get Israel to become a nation after World War One.
Okay. Well, that's nice to know.
But Queen Elizabeth was actually on good terms. She was on good terms with many of the countries, including South Africa and Kenya. So it wasn't all bloody imperialism. Like they, if you look at some of the old footage, like they went, when she came to their countries, there were thousands and thousands of people there to see her in all these countries, even the oppressed ones.
No, they look. No, they were proud to be British colonies. These places were proud to be British colonies. It's just that Britain, England, couldn't financially support them all. And that's, they had to give up stuff.
There's no way they could have kept India. It was too populous. And there was too many factions.
But
so, John, do you have any final? Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, they could,
do you
got, they could have
which
held
one
on.
Do you guys want to do your conclusion first?
I can do mine now.
But in regards to what you're saying.
Why don't you let John go? Because he's probably going somewhere else. His night's probably not even over yet.
Yeah, I'm driving a blonde in the car. It's a blonde bitch.
Well, obviously, that's the dog.
It's a dog.
Yes. Well, in terms of the influence of England, if you remember, what was touted for two or three years and still to this moment, I believe people on the phone believe in Russian collusion. And what was the driving piece is from the Steele dossier, the British spy, the British agent with the fake dossier that's been debunked and baseless. I like to borrow those terms. And where did Papadopoulos meet Downer, the Australian, and a couple other people? Met them in a British bar. And where did he, what was the Joseph Smith said? And he also, the professor, the Maltese professor, that was from Italy. So again, the UK provides controls or tries to control the greatest country in the world. And you have, Justin Trudeau, you know, total staunch enemy of Trump. Macron, you know, again, very, you know, bitter, you know, enemy of, you know, they make fun of Trump and Merkel, however you pronounce your name. This is Europe. This is the countries that tried to control the United Nations, right? They tried to control the world. This is a global new world order. So don't think that it's some small bit player. This is what's going to control the world. And what already does, the only thing stopping it in that way was Donald John Trump. And we will see if history will correct itself or not. So that is my conclusion. The British still rule the world. They still own America.
God save the Queen. Don, it's your turn.
Okay. That's very, very British of you, John, because they don't control much of anything, really. they've lost their strength. They've lost a lot of their luster. And then with the Epstein, Andrew, and all those folks' problems that they've had, they're even looking more like a joke. And everybody knows it. And the EU, you know, I mean, God, help us. But anyway, one thing that people have to respect is age and experience. And that's what, you know, unfortunately or fortunately, Mother Africa is. And for peace, real peace and love and understanding to come about, you always want to go to your fathers, you know, the patriarchs of the world. And that's the wise men from Africa. So if we can want some kind of a peaceful world, if you will, I think we're missing the point and not asking our African fathers how to go about doing this. You know, the money is not everything, and power is not everything. There has to be a benevolence. People, you know, the black people are just kind of laughing at everything that's going on right now, because they understand, we understand that it was inevitable. And just like I quoted Malcolm X as saying, this is not about color. This is about position. This is about caste and class and who, you know, what proud take advantage of doing what. They're confused. And there's, you know, the people have been the ancients around the longest. They have an idea, so give us a chance.
My conclusion is that America's been around about 250 some years, and I think we should hand ourselves back over to England and become a British protectorate again.
What did I just say? The ancient people are black. That English.
I know. I just think that, well, when Don was talking, I'm thinking, does anybody really control anybody except for through taxes? Like, in America, we pretty much rule ourselves.
No, we don't.
Unless we're driving down the street 90 miles. Unless we're driving down the street 90 miles an hour.
We're
then we're
going to
get stopped by a cop.
We're setting up under Joe Biden to live under the rule of United Nations peacekeeping agreements. They say, go attack Syria. Oh, we go. Oh, you can't leave there. It's not safe. They say, oh, global warming, climate change. Well, first it's global warming. Then they said, no, that's not consistent. So let's go with climate change. It's just changing. Well, climate always changes. So what we have to do, Grandpa Jojo, right? All the federal vehicles now, he wants them to be electric. Oh, because it's cleaner. Well, it sounds like that, except you have to generate the electricity using fossil fuel, using charging centers created by fossil fuel, using, you know, power lines and on it goes. It's like that's
what I was telling you at the beginning of the show, that Larry Elder said that all those companies that are using renewable energy really aren't. They're still on the electric grid.
And to the point with that is that basically the UN, the United Nations, is creating the Agenda 2030 that we all have to submit as far as renewable resources, green planning, ending world hunger, blah, on and on, world peace, and identifying and all these things that Biden's pushing through on executive order. These are UN 2030 agendas. Global New World Order. This is the beast. So wake up. You know, this is not freedom.
Well, right now
freedom
I'm not suffering. I'm not suffering like a Syrian. Hello?
Yeah. Really? So
I might be dead in a few years from the COVID immunization, but I'm not dead yet.
Well, that's because you don't threaten the system. You comply with their dogma. you follow and swallow. So of course not. A person like me gets in Facebook jail, and so I have to do code for everything that I state. I can't use certain words, certain phrases, certain names. I'm in Nazi Germany. I'm like doing like the, you know, the Gestapo is watching me. 1984, right? Watch 1984. The guy's job was to change and edit the news.
I read the book in English.
Well, this is what's happening to our information. It's getting edited and rewritten. And in a generation
so
from now, you won't even know.
Are you at risk?
Oh, I'm totally at risk. I'm the next wave that will get wiped out. First they'll go after ultra-conservatives, and then they're going to start going after Christians and churches. Well, you can't even meet in church, right? Right? Well, they're opening it up now, maybe.
In Wisconsin, you can meet in church. Minnesota has some churches open. Wisconsin doesn't give a shit. Their churches have been open for 4 months.
Well, that's not.
But you live in a populous state, so there's more rules. Not every state has the same rules.
I live in freewheeling liberal California that has more rules restricting freedom than any place in the world, practically next to China, probably.
I know. You guys, I'm hungry now, and I have to end the show. I'm in the hunger desert, as I would say. Okay?
The Hunger Games. Yes. By the way, Lady Gaga wore the same outfit as the Hunger Games when she sang for the national anthem. Look at her outfit and compare it to just Google it, the Hunger Games. She wore the same outfit. It's about the elite ruling the starving masses, and she confirms it. They wave it right in your face. Joe loves it.
Okay, I'm going to end it with one of your songs. Have a good night, everybody, and I'll see you soon.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, America.
Good night. Good night.
Something more.